We continue our learning Lili Nishmas David ben Menachem Munish and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We are in Shumos Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Mishnah will discuss where a person made a mistake in his declaration. Not only when it comes to Truma, but other areas of Halacha as well, whether or not this is considered, it's effective or not, as we will see. Hamis Kamei Lomar Truma V'Amar Meiser, a person had Kavana to say Truma, but instead he said Meiser. So when he said, he declared that what is in front of him is Maser, he didn't have in mind that it should be Maser. He had in mind that it should be Truma, or Maser V'Amar Truma, right, or the reverse. Olav V'Amar Shlom, in person lets him when it comes to dedication to the Beis HaMikdash, like what we call Nidre Hektesh. So he says, I have him on this animal should be a Korban Ola. He's thinking in his head rather that it should be an Ola. V'amar Shlomim, but he actually declared, he articulated it should be a Shlomim. Or Shlomim V'amar Ola. The other way, he was thinking Shlomim, but he actually said Ola. Or the following, let's say when it comes to a Shavua, or a Nidre Yisr, right? This is, we're going to speak about an action. So an action is, a Shavua is a prohibited action. A Neder actually is something where I prohibit an item upon me. Here a person says, She'eni nichnas labai zeh. Person says, I'm not going to enter this house. Takes a vow or takes an oath. Va'amar lazeh. So he's thinking, I don't plan on, I'm taking a vow. He's thinking I'm not entering, Reuven's house. But he ends up saying, I'm not entering Shimon's house. Or she'ini nehene lazeh, another type of shvua. A person says he's not going to benefit from someone. So he's thinking one person, va'amar lazeh, but ends up saying someone else. So the Mishnah says regarding all of these pronouncements, lo amar klum. It's nothing. Ad she'yu piv v'libo shavin, until his mouth and his heart are equal. So we have a little bit to discuss here. It seems that it's all of these cases, it's completely ineffective. So let's say, for example, in case of the produce that he called Maser when he was thinking Truma, it remains Tevel, because he made a mistake. The animal that he called, called an Ola that he was thinking Ola and called a Shlomim is Chulin, meaning, because Lomar Klum means that it's completely ineffective what he said. We don't say that what he said takes effect, nor do we say what he was thinking takes effect. Lomar Klum. So that's why, even though he called it Maser and is thinking Truma, it's neither. He says he's thinking Ola calls it Shlomim, it's neither. So it remains Chulin, it's unconsecrated. And the same thing with the oath or the vow. He hasn't prohibited anything upon himself. He's allowed to enter each of those people's houses. He's allowed to get benefit from either one of them. And that is, that's the halacha. Now, where do we learn this from? So there is a contradiction in Psukim. On the one hand, it says, in Sefer Devarim, Motzas Fasecha Tishmor V'asi, so in Parashas Kisei, say, you have to observe, guard that which comes out of your mouth, which sounds like everything is affected through a verbal declaration. But it also says, when it came to Nidre Hektish, when it came to giving to the Mishkan, it says, Kol Mediv Leif, everything is based on what your heart motivates you to do. So, if I dedicate something to my heart, in my mind, without uttering it at all, so that has effect. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? So the way we understand it is like this, that that which comes out of a person's lips affects a neder only if it's consistent with his intent in his heart. So if, let's say, someone intended to say the words, whatever it is, and then he actually said those words, he's thinking Truma and says Truma, he's thinking this is an Ola and he says it's an Ola, then it's fine. But if he made those words without intention, there's no Nidiv Lev, so they're ineffective. So then there's no Motzas Vasecha Shmor V'Asisa. Now, the only one who knows about this is a person who had this intent. So if, let's say, a person says, oh, this is what I had in mind, we have the right, the Mishnah is teaching us also, we have the right to assume that a person is was thinking what he says. In other words, a person says, this is, I'm calling this, I call this Truma, or I call this Maser, and I was thinking Maser. So we obviously have the right to rely on his intent, and what he's saying is actually true. The one important point here is that the Tosfos hold, and we've mentioned this in the past, perhaps, in the Mishnayos when it came to the Elaim, that a person confect Truma through V'nechshav Lachem, through mental designation. So, therefore, there's an important question here. If it's true that a person can affect Truma through just thought, so when the person declares this is Maser, but he's thinking Truma, so why is this nothing? Maybe this should be Truma, because he's thinking Truma. Shouldn't that be sufficient? So, same thing by Nidre Hekdesh, by the way, which also we assume that Kol Nediv Lev Olos, a person can actually make a karbon through just also thinking about it in his mind. So the answer is and the Rashi explains, at least one explanation, is that in the case of our Mishnah, a person's intent, let's say, to affect Truma or consecrate the animal is not effective because it's contradicted by that which he says. So, just the same way, what a person's verbal declaration is not effective, it's contradicted by his intent, so to his intent, his thoughts, thinking this is Truma, is going to be contradicted by that which he articulates. So the fact that I can donate something, and the fact that I can make Truma v'nechshav through my mind or nediv lev, that may be true if that's all I'm doing. But if now there's a contradiction, you know, we speak about this in Davening, I have negative kavana, so maybe mitzvos don't need kavana, but I have the kavana not to be otze, so that's going to be worse. Others claim that the way to explain is like this, that a person's unspoken kavana can affect truma and hekdesh in this case, only if the person means to have them take effect through thought, not through declaration. But the mere fact that he's actually deciding to declare something shows that he doesn't have what his intent to be that which is causing the truma, causing the hekdesh. So here, where the person says maser, but he's thinking truma, by saying maser, he's showing up. I have in mind. You have this similar in Mishnah and Bava Metziah. It speaks about a person that I can be kone something within my Dalat Amos. But if I go to dive on top of it, so then I show that I don't want to use my Dalat Amos to be kone, and I want to be kone with my hand. And if someone gets there before me, even though it's within my Dalat Amos first, it belongs to that person. So similar over here, and that's the way we understand our Mishnah. Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. Ha'oved kochavim v'hakusi. He's speaking about non-Jews. The kusi is his own category of non-Jew. We've discussed in the past. Truma son truma umasro sehen maser behekdeshan hekdesh. Mishnah says their truma is considered truma, their maser is considered maser, and if they're makdash somebody the base on mikdash, it has the status as well as maser. Now, the Torah doesn't have this obligation for non-Jews. They don't have to take trumas and maasos from their produce. It's not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But nonetheless, the Mishnah is teaching us is that the truma that they decide to separate, if they designate it, is considered valid. So the maaser rishon has to be given to the Levi, and the truma to the Kohen, and the Levi has to separate truma's maaser, and this maaser sheni has to be taken to Shalayim. So this is something that can be affected by a non-Jew, even though he doesn't have this obligation. Now, the ability the non-Jew has to designate truma is derived from the fact that a non-Jew is able to consecrate animals as korbanos, as the Mishnah is going to discuss as well. Designating truma is similar to consecrating animals, similar to what halacha we just mentioned before. That's one possibility. Also, a person, we could explain that a non-Jew's ability to separate truma and the fact that it takes effect is more general. That when it comes to a non-Jew, well, true, he's exempt from most of the commandments of the Torah, but they get schar if they perform mitzvos. According to that logic, so even though the Torah doesn't obligate the non-Jew in mitzvos, it will recognize a mitzvah that he does, and that would be true when it comes to separating truma as well. That's where the Rambam understands this. Now, this idea that a non-Jew can actually have, can affect truma d'oraisa from his produce. So there are a couple of principles at play here. that number one assumes that the non-Jewish produce has some Torah obligation. Again, even though the mitzvah is not upon the gav on the person, but it seems that his produce has this kedusha to it, and therefore is chayev, and therefore if he does separate truma, it would take effect. Now, why should that be? So this seems to employ the principle, as we've mentioned in the past, Ein kinyan la'oved kochavim be'eretz Yisrael hafkir midei ma'aser. The opinion that a non-Jew does not have any acquisition to the land of Israel to release it from the halachas of ma'asos, of trumos and ma'asros. That being the case, so the land of Israel, the soil is kadosh, so to speak, and a non-Jew's ownership of it won't change that. Now, that doesn't help us when it comes to the laws of Shemitah. If we want to rely on the Heter Mechir to sell the land of Israel to a non-Jew, that may not help if this is true. But our Mishnah seems to be taking this principle as the accepted one, and that's why his Truma will be considered Truma. Number two, another principle which is at play is Mei Ruach Oved Kochavim Eino Poter. A non-Jew smoothing out of the pile of grain, which we know is the Gemar Malacha, for the harvesting, that's the stage where the Truma, the Chiyuv, begins. It sounds like the non-Jew doing so, Eino Poter, does not necessarily exempt that produce from Trumos Umaso. So once again, if I put together these two principles, I could understand very well why, although there's no obligation on the person, on the non-Jew, but his produce will Trumos Umaso will take effect if he decides to separate them. There's Zertosus in Kedushin that claims that Amishtar can follow the opinion that produce grown in non-Jewish fields or processed by a non-Jew is not Chayv de Oraisa in Trumos Umaso. But we're speaking about produce which was grown in a Jewish field. It was just processed, right? And it was also processed by a Jew, but sold to a non-Jew. So, and the Ramban adds that the Mishnah could be speaking about produce that was purchased from a Jew, and the non-Jew is now separating Truma in its unprocessed state. So these are different ways to understand why it's true that this Trumos Umasos of a non-Jew will have effect. Rabbi Yudom in the Mishnah continues. One more thing, and that is when it comes to the hektesh. Why is the hektesh, if they consecrate something, let's say an animal, it's considered kadosh, and it could be offered actually in the Beis HaMikdash, based on the pasuk in Vayikra, Ishish mi beis Yisrael umenager bi Yisrael asher yakriv karbono l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvosam. What's Ishish? The double language, any man, that's any man, even non-Jews, can consecrate animals. There is a difference, though. The Gemara has in Masechet Zvachim in Machlokes Tanoim, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi says the laws are the same. Rabbi Shimon holds that even though a non-Jew can dedicate a korban to the Beis HaMikdash and can be brought, there will be some differences. And that, for example, person would not be chayv kares for eating the meat of a non-Jew's korban if you're tameh. Or let's say the offering of pigel, which was brought with the improper intent that it's going to be eaten at a later time. We'll discuss pigel when we get to Zvachim. But so that may be another thing. Also, let's say a Jew's korban that was offered, sacrificed outside the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash, Yechayv Kares for that. According to Rabbi Shimon, none of these penalties apply to the offerings of a non-Jew, but Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, no, all of those would still apply to the offering. If you're telling me a non-Jew can offer a korban, it can be consecrated korban, so those halachos, those stringencies would apply to it as well. Rabbi Yudom, the Mishnah continues, Ein la'oved kochavim kerem revai. We've mentioned kerem revai as the fourth year produce. Sometimes kerem revai is from a vineyard. Net Haravai refers to trees in general. First 3 years is Arla, and the fourth year we treat it like Maser Sheni. We bring the produce to Shalim and eat it there. Says Rabbi Yehuda, a non-Jew that has no din of Kerem Revai of the fourth year, V'chachamim orim yeshlo. V'chachamim say there is that halacha. Now, that means if grapes that grow, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the vines of a non-Jew during his fourth year, it's true that maybe the laws of Arla apply to the first 3 years, but the din of Kerem Revai does not apply to the fourth year. Now, there is the Rosh explains, and this is where we understand the Mishnah, that we're not speaking about a vineyard in Eretz Yisrael. We assume from a Gemara in Maseches Abraisa, in Maseches Menachos, and Daf Samach Vav, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a field's owned by a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, not only is there a chiyuv of Orla, but it still has it's obligated midoraisa and trumas and masros, and still has the halacha of kerem revai. but the fourth year fruit Kedusha as well. We're speaking about a vineyard that's in Surya. So Surya, we've mentioned in the past, has certain status like Eretz Yisrael and other areas does not. So Midorabban, and certainly Surya is subject to many of the halachos of Eretz Yisrael and Masos as well. But Rabbi Yehuda says like this. The Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to Ravai, we have this halacha there. Everyone will say like this. Everyone agrees that a field owned by a non-Jew in Surya is considered like a field outside of Eretz Israel. And therefore, even midrabbanan, so again, a field owned by a non-Jew outside of, in Surya is like outside of Eretz Israel. And even midrabbanan, it's exempt from the laws that apply to Eretz Israel. So what's happening in this Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us when he says, Ein la'ovet kochavim kerem ravai, he's saying that a vineyard owned by a non-Jew in Surya is not subject to ravai, just like, vineyards outside of Eretz Israel completely, right? Outside of Eretz Israel completely. So Surya, which has certain laws like Eretz Israel, we're going to say when it comes to Ravai, there is no din of Ravai. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say Yeshlo, meaning the Chachamim agree that outside of Eretz Israel, everyone agrees, there's no din of Ravai. But in Eretz Israel, but in Surya, the Chachamim say that a non-Jew's fields or vineyards are Chayiv and Ravai. Now, so there is also some discussion. We only mentioned Kerem Ravai. And indeed, that's the way we should understand the Mishnah, that according to the Chachamim, the vineyard of even a non-Jew in Surya is subject to Ravai, but it sounds like that's only Kerem Ravai, where we've discussed in the past, Kerem Ravai, we're more strict when it comes to Kerem Ravai vineyards than it comes to other types of fruit trees. So again, the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein la'ovid kochavim Kerem Ravai, in Surya, a non-Jew does not have the halacha of Kerem Ravai, just Arla. And the Chachamim say, Yeshlo, yes, there is the din of Kerem Ravai for a non-Jew in Surya. If it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, completely, not even in Surya, so then there's no din of Ravai, even according to the Chachamim. And if it's in Eretz Yisrael itself, then everyone agrees that even the non-Jews' field in Eretz Yisrael is Chayiv in Ravai, and certainly in Arla. Mishnah concludes, Trumas Oved Kochavim Midamas, the Chayiv Amaleha Chomesh, Rabbi Shimon Poter, another Machlokas. I have the Truma of a non-Jew. So we mentioned that his Truma has the status of Truma. Question is, what happens if it mixes in with Chulin? So according to the Tanakhama, it will actually ruin the chulin, the same way the truma of a Jew. And unless you have a ratio of 100 to 1, it's going to ruin the entire mixture. And yechayev a chomesh, what does that mean? So a chomesh is where a person got benefit from that by Shmishogeg, ate the truma. Yechayev to not only pay back the kohen, the principal, but yechayev to pay back an extra fifth. But Rabbi Shimon Poter, he exempts someone who ate truma that was affected by a non-Jew from adding that extra fifth. So it sounds like there's the Mishnah's teaching us according to this, the simple reading of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon exempts only the din of Chomesh. He agrees that the Truma does create a dimu, a mixture, and it needs 100 to 1. 100 to 1 of a ratio in order to nullify it.